I'm Buddy Black, the voice of the Edgewater Beach Hotel, Chicago. You know, as a kid living in Huntington, Pennsylvania, my brothers and I spent many, many evenings tuning our crystal set to the dance band broadcasts from the beach walk and marine dining room of the Edgewater Beach Hotel, Chicago, never dreaming that one day I would be broadcasting from there myself, even to become the sound of our town. I have so many wonderful memories of the Edgewater Beach and would like to share some with you. You'll also hear from some of the famous personalities who performed at the hotel, people who worked and lived there most of their lives, and a nostalgic tune or two that may possibly take you back to some memorable evening you spent at the elegant Edgewater Beach. The 980-room Edgewater Beach Hotel opened June 3, 1916. The original bronze plaque lists John J. Corbett as the first president and William M. Dewey as the first general manager. But as everyone came to know very quickly, the legendary Mr. Dewey ran the whole show, and probably better than anyone else in the business. What other hotel manager ever demanded custom-tailored uniforms for his staff, or personally retrieve lost silverware from garbage cans? No comedian ever told an off-color joke twice when Mr. Dewey ran the hotel, and many a prominent guest who imagined his illegal flask was invisible to the omnipresent Bill Dewey was asked to leave the dining room during the Prohibition years. Yes, Mr. Dewey was that kind of white-gloved, no-nonsense perfectionist. Listen to what Mr. Ed Reynolds, Mr. Dewey's first assistant, has to say about him.
He was a hard disciplinarian, put it that way. But if you done your job, he didn't bother you. If you didn't, he'd give you hell. He didn't take any excuses.
The success of the Edgewater Beach Hotel was phenomenal. So much so that the connecting Edgewater Beach Tower was opened in 1922. While President Warren G. Harding was disavowing any knowledge of a teapot dome cover-up, the legendary giant Mr. Paul Whiteman was airing Ramona and other favorites at Sunday evening dinner concerts called Twilight Musicales. No one danced on Sunday at the Edgewater Beach, not while Mr. Dewey ruled the roost.
That's how you suspell Chicago. The big windy, the big windy, great big windy town.
Even through the wild jazz era, the Edgewater Beach maintained its dignity, with just a very few exceptions. Like the night the celebrated New York hostess Texas Guinan, who popularized the expression, "Hello, sucker," was evicted after entertaining 300 rowdy guests at an intimate supper party. And the night every kid's idol silent film star Tom Mix was stampeded from his 16th floor corral when caught with a curvaceous but highly illicit roommate. All during the so-called Roaring Twenties, the Edgewater staff was kind of used to the likes of Jeanette McDonald, Mae Murray, Jack Dempsey, Gene Tunney, Edna Ferber, Bill Tilden, and William Randolph Hearst, all the important names of the era. The Edgewater Beach convention manager, John Putnam, remembers one night of the year when beautiful people and big names dominated the Edgewater Beach Hotel.
The most exciting evening of the year was, of course, our New Year's Eve party. We served and entertained as many as 2,500 people at dinner, and people, as a general rule, stayed over for a nice breakfast.
You know, it was a Chicago tradition that the summer social season officially opened on June 15th on the Edgewater Beach Walk. I'm sure some of you remember Ted Fiorita's vocalist Nick Lucas tiptoeing through the tulips. Or maybe you and your honey snuggled on a cushioned swing under a canopy as Wayne King, the Waltz King, three-quarter timed his way through a tune like this. Wayne King, there's opening nights, but what about opening night at the Edgewater Beach Hotel?
My opening night at the Edgewater Beach was one of the big thrills of my life. It was something that I always looked forward to because some of the greatest bands that ever were played at the Edgewater Beach. And I was very proud to open that place because I had just come out of the Army and I wanted to go. I wanted to do something good and fine. And I remember Paul Whiteman was there. Practically all the men that I served in the Army were there. It was a gala night, and I will never forget it, and I think I lost weight. And Mr. Dewey, of course, was a good friend of mine. He came back. In fact, I had quit the music business, and he talked me into going back. And that was when I opened his motor beat.
Ah, what other music could be more conducive to romance than Wayne King, or Carmen Cavallero, Horace Hyde at his musical nights, Griff Williams, Danny Russo and his Orioles, Lawrence Welk or Herbie Kay? And what spot on earth lent itself so much to love as the Edgewater Beach? Say, how many of you danced your prom night away at the Edgewater Beach and then shared breakfast in the coffee shop? Did you spend your wedding night at the Edgewater Beach? My wife Ellie and I did. In fact, it seems every Chicago couple held hands at the great hotel at least sometime during their lives. The apartments in the Edgewater Beach Tower were also nothing short of sensational. From the windows, you could watch the golfers on the private putting course. You could see Frank Parker and Bobby Riggs long before he became champion of women's tennis. Tarzan, Johnny Weissmuller at the pool. And the big, expensive yachts out on the lake. Governor Dwight F. Green, as well as Rogers Hornsby and Charlie Grimm of the Chicago Cubs, were among the resident elite. Resident barber of the Edgewater Beach was Duffy. Listen as he remembers the athletes and movie stars who sat in his first chair in the Edgewater Beach barbershop.
Fellows like Bill Terry, Carl Hubbell, Mill Ott, Hornsby, Pee Wee Reese, Johnny Mize. We had Detroit stopping at the hotel. And guys like Neuhauser and Cochran, and all them great players they had. Robert Taylor, of course, lived there during the war. The station at the Glenview Air Station, you know. I took care of Bob all the time. Groucho Marx and Steve Allen, Arthur Treacher, John Carradine. The rest I can remember were very talkative, nice people. I tell you, buddy, it was kind of like a second home, being there as long as I was.
High in the tower, Charles Correll and Freeman Gosden started broadcasting in the 20s on WEBH as Sam and Henry. Later, their Amos and Andy show became one of the most popular in all America.
Yes, Mr. Amos, I'll whiz right on over there.
The social man about town, Henry Van Porter.
Well, now, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I'm having a fitting with my tailor. He's put the new patch on the seat of my pants.
The fussy, henpecked Brother Crawford.
I want to tell you boys that my wife is very unhappy and she won't stand for it.
Yes, and as time went on, all of those other warm human characters. Ruby Taylor, Miss Blue, Sapphire, the old battle axe, Pat Pending, Fluky Harris, Fred Wendell, and Madam Queen. And of course, the greatest character of all, that lovable old rascal, the Kingfish.
Now, wait a minute, Jerry. Don't forget we are all brothers in that great fraternity that lives at night of the sea.
One summer, King Saud of Saudi Arabia rented a whole floor for himself and his entourage. Like every guest who's had a good time, the king spread the word. So every July thereafter, there was a convention of the UAR, long before it was officially established. And the sheiks all loved Abby Lane when she moved to Coogie's Latin Rhythms in the Marine Dining Room. Say, do you remember the hundreds of cage canaries in the Marine dining room at breakfast time? Did you know that the dance floor had a convertible roof? You know, on a clear night, the heavenly stars almost matched the studded headliners in brightness. Palm trees swayed in the breeze, and fountains splashed as affluent ringsiders lounged leisurely in gilded chairs. And all the while, the waters of Lake Michigan lapped the sculptured shores of the Edgewater Beach Hotel. Orrin Tucker, what was it like to open at the Edgewater Beach Hotel?
Well, buddy, when we opened the Edgewater Beach Hotel, it was one of the greatest moments of my life because I had gone to Northwestern University and on college night had gone there and seen the waves from the lake splash up on the windows of the marine room. And it never occurred to me that when I was going to school there that someday I would be responsible for the music. So when the opportunity did come, and Bill Dewey was kind enough to install us there with all the trimmings, it was something to really make my heart beat very fast. And I can remember so well, even now, that probably one of the biggest moments, the biggest surprises of my life was on the 4th of July, they had a big fireworks display, as some may remember, and that Bill Dewey had arranged for my name to be done in blazing fireworks. And my, I just... that just knocked me out. Anyway, the Edgewater Beach was probably the thing that launched my career and something that I just never will forget.
All the girls are crazy about a certain little Ed. Although he's very, very bad, he could be oh so good when he wanted to. Bad or good, he understood that love and other things. For every girl in town followed him around just to hold his hand and sing. Oh, Johnny, please tell me, dear, what makes me love you so? You're not handsome, it's true, but when I look at you, I just, oh, Johnny, uh-oh.
That was Orrin Tucker's orchestra with vocalist Wee Bonnie Baker. Orrin Tucker, tell us, what's the true story about Wee Bonnie Baker and Oh Johnny O?
Oh, Wee Bonnie Baker was a very talented young lady. It was a matter of finding the right material for the right person. When I found Bonnie Baker, her name was Evelyn Nelson, and I started searching for material and writing a few things for her. And when I was in a used music shop in Chicago, I came across the tune Oh Johnny Oh. And I think in about 20 years before that, Oh Johnny had been a hit. But to add that style and that small voice of Bonnie Baker to it, it made it.
Oh Johnny, please tell me, dear, what makes me love you so? You're not handsome, it's true, but when I look at you, I just, oh, Johnny, oh.
The habitués of the Edgewater Beach also felt the crush of the Wall Street crash. And management of the hotel held what they called college night dinners every Thursday, where you could dine and dance to the music of a Henry Bussey, and the whole evening cost a buck. Financial depression? Yes. Entertainment depression? No. Edgewater Beach maintained a high with a continuous star-studded list of entertainers. The ankle-length dresses, wide lapel suits, spats, and broad-brimmed hats of the 30s complemented the Hupmobiles and Duesenbergs, the Cords and Pierce Arrows lined up at the welcoming arch in front of the Edgewater Beach. Bejeweled ladies and their gentlemen alighted to the salute of smartly uniformed doormen and walked up those gracious stairs into the beautiful and bustling Marine dining room, where Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto identified Freddie Martin's orchestra, which packed them in each and every night at the Edgewater Beach. Freddie Martin, what styles of music did your band play for the Edgewater audiences?
I played one style of music, music in those days, it did appeal to all age groups. There was no generation gap. You played the college proms, and then the music that you played for the kids at college also pleased their mothers and fathers, which isn't so today. Outside of following certain trends like Latin music, it was basically the same. Claude Thornhill and Rush Morgan were both sidemen in my band when I first started. Murray Arnold on piano, and more prominently, of course, Merv Griffin was our featured vocalist. I have quite a few pictures of Merv sitting on the bandstand at the Marine dining room. What the Coconut Grove meant to people in Los Angeles, the Edgewater Beach was to the people from the Middle West. Everybody that was anybody worked there, and you were proud of the fact that you were chosen to play there and invited back. I know I was.
Say, did you know that in the 40s, there were over 300 big-name bands? Bands like Sammy Kaye, like Benny Goodman, the Dorsey Brothers, Artie Shaw, Glenn Miller, Clyde McCoy, Bunny Berrigan, Chuck Foster, and so many others. Each of them begged their agents to get them booked into the Edgewater Beach, knowing that along with live, enthusiastic Chicago audiences, there were sometimes two or three network radio broadcasts originating from the hotel on a single night. And appearances on these broadcasts brought instant and nationwide popularity to many an unknown group. Time has a way of marching on. The city of Chicago took the hotel's beach away by extending the outer drive to Hollywood Boulevard. And so the famous Edgewater Cabana Club came into being. Around an Olympic-sized pool were two levels of cabanas painted in the blue, green, and white Edgewater colors. Luncheon and dinner were served on the patio. Bright-colored umbrella tables dotted the terrace. While making your reservations to hear Ted Lewis sing "When My Baby Smiles at Me" in the Marine dining room, you may have stopped by the flower shop to say hello to Sam and Dorothy, or possibly kept an appointment at Evelyn's Beauty Salon, or looked at the wedding portraits in the windows of Bronson and Coles, possibly bought something in the gift shop, or just had coffee in the drugstore. In my WEBH studio on the first floor, I played records and interviewed people like Milton Berle, Danny Thomas, Myron Cohn, and so many others. The time I had with Casey Stengel is an award winner. And then, one night, as Ted Lewis sang "Me and My Shadow," the Marine dining room became no more. The fabulous watering spot of the 20s, 30s, and 40s gave way to a Polynesian village featuring Arthur Lyman and his Hawaiian Review, which for a time brought the room to a standing room only status once again. George Gobel and Margaret Whiting were to perform on the night of the hotel's closing, December 22nd, 1967. The Grand Hotel, now 51 years old, as wrinkled as she was irascible, was put to rest. There are millions who still mourn the passing of the old Edgewater Beach, and I am certainly one of them. But I think the Grand Dam would have liked the new town that's rising in her place. They've taken the elegance, the charm, and the comfort of the old Edgewater Beach Hotel and made it into a great new town. A town where people like you live with other people like you and enjoy the same kinds of things. Edgewater Beach, your kind of town.
That's how you spell Chicago, the big windy.
This is the sound of our town. This is the sound of Chicago.
I'm Buddy Black. We hope you've enjoyed these nostalgic sounds of the great old Edgewater Beach Hotel and will soon become a citizen of the great new Edgewater Beach town.